Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you downloaded us from. Thanks very much for downloading us. My name is Dr. Mike Roizen, your host. And as usual, the B segments are guests. We have a wonderful guest for you today. I'm going to just tell you that she is really an expert on health advocacy as well as how to get a second opinion. Ruth Linden is her name. L-I-N-D-E-N. She's president and founder of the Tree of Life Health Advocates, and it's treeoflifeadvocates.com is her website. Ruth Linden is our guest, who is both a health advocate as well as a proponent of second medical opinions, and as you know, I am a proponent of that as well. Persona Nutrition is our sponsor. If you're confused about vitamins, Persona experts cut through the hype and confusion. You can have supplements customized just to your needs. Visit mypersona.com and take the free online assessment, mypersona, P-E-R-S-O-N-A.com, and take the free online assessment. Now, let's switch to our guest, Ruth. How did you get into, if I can use your first name, Ruth Linden is a PhD, so I could call her Dr. Ruth, but that name is taken by someone else, I think. So Ruth Linden is the president of Tree of Life Health Advocates. She's based, I think, in San Francisco, California. Ruth, how did you get into the field, and where is the Tree of Life Advocates located?
Tree of Life Health Advocates is located in San Francisco, and let me say I'm delighted to be here speaking with you this afternoon. I have spent my entire career in and around healthcare. In fact, I've been doing health advocacy kind of on the side for family and friends for over 25 years, and I did it out of affection and concern. I did it really well, and I loved doing it. I loved helping people. Now, I have a long list of credentials because I was an academic. I was a professor, a professor and a dean, and well, you know about academics. We have long lists of credentials. As a bioethicist, I consulted for and spoke at the FDA. As a public health researcher, I led a major study of diversity in nursing education. And as a faculty member at the University of California, San Francisco, and at Stanford, I taught medical students how to interview patients, which really amounted to teaching them how to listen. But on the other hand, I'm also an activist, a social activist, and I'm committed to social change.
Well, let me just interrupt. What do you mean by, let's go and first talk about what a health advocate does. So what does a health advocate do for a patient? And is it any patient? Is it just patients who have cancer? Who do you serve?
I work with any patient who contacts me for whom I feel I can make a difference. I work with cancer patients, but I also work with patients with other challenging diagnoses, including psychiatric diagnoses. I work with patients with autoimmune diseases. I work with patients with psychiatric diagnoses and physical symptoms. Many of my clients have experienced trauma at the hands of the healthcare system and are facing challenges communicating with their doctors, or they've just received a frightening diagnosis and they don't know how to proceed. They don't know how to choose a treatment plan, or they're confused by their communication with their doctors, and they want me to intervene to help them clarify their goals for treatment. And in the case of second opinions, it seems advantageous for them to speak with other doctors about their options. So
do you do this with just patients in the Bay Area, or do you have a group that does this in other areas, or do you do it in other areas as well? Can you do this long distance online?
I do work long distance. I have clients all over the country and throughout California. I have clients in Florida. I have clients in Chicago. I have clients in Delaware. I have clients in the Northeast. I work with clients by video conference, by Zoom, and by FaceTime, and I work with folks by email and telephone. We meet clients exactly where they are and use the communication channels that are most comfortable and effective for them.
And now you mentioned second opinion. Is health advocacy part and parcel of second opinion? In other words, I tell patients that when they're doing something for 3 days or more, they should get a second opinion on it, meaning even if they're taking a drug for 3 days, it's worth a second opinion. And that's some of the data you cite is why there are what's the chances of a changed treatment plan with a second opinion?
Well, I like your three-day approach. I think that makes a lot of sense. The chances of a second opinion or even a second or third or fourth opinion, which many of my clients seek, the chances of a change in a treatment regimen or the emergence of a new treatment plan is occasional. It happens. But the value of a second opinion or third or fourth opinion isn't only getting a different different treatment options, different recommendations, because what a second opinion can also do, and of equal importance, is that a second opinion can reinforce the original treatment plan and thereby inspire new confidence in a patient who may be approaching their upcoming treatment with trepidation or anxiety or doubt. As you know, and as we all know, different physicians communicate in different styles and different kinds of language. Everybody has a different communication style. That's not unique to doctors. And getting what might seem like the same information from a different doctor with a different presentation can make all the difference in the world. I see this time and again with my clients. And I'd love to tell you about one client with whom I saw this recently, if I may. Would you like to hear a story?
No, let's go and talk a little bit about other aspects of this.
Sure.
So when you say a second opinion, now there is a large database that, in fact, even at Hopkins on biopsies of breast cancer, 30% of them were changed, that is, were said to be non-cancer. You also cite data on the Mayo Clinic study, and I don't want to take away your information. So tell us about how often there is a change, though. So although you said a lot of it is confirmation and having confidence in the plan, a lot of it is also making sure that the plan is appropriate for the diagnosis. So tell me or talk to us about that change in, if you will, diagnostic criteria or diagnosis.
Well, as we all know, the practice of medicine is evidence-based, science-based, but there's also an element of the art of medicine. Sometimes different physicians see different images on a scan, and in response to those images or different kinds of changes from one scan to the next, they will see differences that need to be either further worked up or that call for a different kind of treatment plan. That is not an infrequent or an idiopathic occurrence. That's the practice of medicine. Medicine is dynamic. Medicine is interpretive, and given the range of diagnostic modalities that are used these days, different kinds of scans, different kinds of biopsies, and so forth, changed treatment plans occur all the time based on second and subsequent opinions. So that's not an anomaly. That's not a rare occurrence. That's what the practice of medicine looks like.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona Assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
The data you cite in what you gave me and what you sent was, in fact, that in over 50% of the cases, there is a change in treatment that is substantial or change in diagnosis that is substantial. So I didn't want our audience to go and think there wasn't a change. No, there is a large degree of benefit from second opinions, not only in gaining, if you will, confidence in what it was, but in fact in there is a change in practice, and physicians often appreciate this. That is, someone who isn't a specialist in a disease, or even if they are, can learn from the second opinion that is given on that patient. So
exactly.
That's some of the, and I don't want the Ruth. So you've provided this very nice information brochure from to me on what you do, and so we should say that, by the way, Ruth's website is treeofLifeAdvocates.com.
And it's
just
tree
because
of life
you sent it,
healthadvocates.com.
treofLifeHealthAdvocates.com. And I didn't want you, just because you provided it to me, not to tell our audience about it. Tell me about a second opinion consultation. What normally happens during it, and who has to pay for it?
Well, let me answer your second question first. Because second opinions are a normal part of medical practice, generally an insurance provider will cover the cost of a second opinion. But it's important for the patient to remember that they will likely need to see an in-network physician in order not to have to pay entirely out of pocket for the consult. So, for example, if a Kaiser patient needs a second opinion, they will be expected to go within the Kaiser system. However, they can go outside the Kaiser system and pay out of pocket. What happens during a second opinion consult depends on the condition about which the for which the consultation is sought. It's important to pull records together before that meeting, and often physicians want to review those records before they actually sit down with the patient. So we've got to get paper records and all scans that have been done. In the case of cancer, biopsy slides are often requested, pathology slides. So all of those materials need to be gathered and submitted so that the doctor can review them in advance. A thorough interview is part of a second opinion. Often, questions will be asked that a patient has never been asked before. So that kind of consultation is always included, of a history, a thorough history. And then there's usually a physical, depending on the kind of cancer and so forth, or at least a general review of systems if a physical exam isn't indicated. So that's generally what happens in a second opinion visit. These days, we're seeing so many virtual visits being conducted, and it's very possible to have a second opinion conducted via Zoom or other video platforms. So in this time of COVID, that's an option too, and it's always important to ask whether a video visit can be scheduled. Some of my clients have long-distance visits with hospitals on the opposite coast or with physicians at hospitals on the opposite coast. And some institutions pride themselves on offering video consults for second opinions. So we're seeing more of that in this time of COVID, and that's a plus for patients.
Now, do the patients come to you and say, I need a second opinion, can you get me one? Or do they ask their physician to refer them? How do you get involved in this process? Do physicians refer to you? How does that happen? Or does the patient go right to your website? TreeOfLifeHealthAdvocates.com is Ruth Linden's website. So if I needed a second opinion, would I click through to you? If I needed a health advocate, would I click through to you, or would I ask my physician to refer me to you? How does that work?
Typically, my clients find me on the internet, or they're referred by a friend, a colleague. I have some physicians who refer clients to me who are stuck one way or another in the healthcare system and need someone by their side to offer guidance and support. Once a client finds me, sometimes they will ask me directly to arrange second opinions, and sometimes we'll talk about their diagnosis, we'll talk about their challenges, and I will suggest that a second opinion is indicated. And they will say, oh, I hadn't thought of that. And we'll talk about the options for physicians and institutions who might be best suited to offering a second opinion. So it can go either way. Typically, a patient wants to get a recommendation for a second opinion from someone who has a little distance from their doctor. Because if you go within the network that you're, the metaphoric network or literally the health system where your doctor is practicing, you're not going to get someone who is going to look at your case, look at your diagnosis, and look at you with fresh eyes. And that's really important. So you want, even though your records are going to be submitted and they're going to see, the second opinion doctor is going to see exactly what your physician, your treating physician, has observed and recommended, but you want to start as fresh as possible.
Now, let me go and say, so many of us who are practicing, for example, if we have Epic, or even the Cerner or one of the electronic medical record system, can get every other patient's records through a wonderful system. I don't know what the backbone is other than we use it. It's called Care Everywhere. You click on it and we get the records, often the scans from elsewhere, making second opinions much easier than they were even 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to reassure patients that it's pretty easy. But you give data that very few patients seek second opinions.
That's correct.
What percent seek a second opinion, even for a major diagnosis? And then why don't they?
Well, I don't think we have good data that tells us either the percentage of patients who do seek second opinions or who don't. The reason, your question as to why patients don't seek second opinions typically is a really good one. And I think there are at least two significant reasons. The first reason is that many patients are afraid that somehow their doctor will be offended if they get additional input about a treatment plan. If they go to a second opinion doctor, their doctor may fire them, their doctor will be insulted, their doctor will be annoyed and distance themselves from their care. That's just not true. That rarely happens. And if it does, that's a sign that that patient needs to find a new doctor. Second opinions are standard of care, and patients need to know that and don't know that. And that's the second reason many don't know that. And that's the second reason that patients don't seek second opinions as a matter of course. They don't know that that's their right. That's their right as a patient, and that's good medical practice, and that strengthens the practice of medicine from provider's standpoint because it's an opportunity to consult on the best care that's available for a given patient with a given diagnosis and a given prognosis. So second opinions are a win-win for doctors and for patients alike, and they are a great investment for healthcare systems who are thinking about dollars and cents and expenditures and the bottom line. So everybody wins with second opinions.
We've been speaking with Ruth Linden, and she is absolutely right. Everyone wins on second opinions. You can reach her at treeoflifehealthadvocates.com, treeoflifehealthadvocates.com. Ruth Linden has been our guest. This is podcast number 997B. Remember, the A's are always the latest news of the week. The B's are the guests, wonderful guests like Ruth Linden. We are sponsored, as usual, by Persona Nutrition. MyPersona.com is how you can get nutrients and nutritional supplements personalized to you. You can take the free online assessment and get your recommendation at mypersona.com. There's no obligation, and it's free, and you get to talk to a dietitian or nutritionist who's experienced in your problem. That is, they have nutritionists and dietitians who are experienced in almost every problem. You can find one there. They'll get you to the one that knows about it. So if you're confused about vitamins or minerals or supplements, they can help you at mypersona.com. If you go to mypersona.com/Roizen, you get 50% off your first order. I want to thank you for downloading us and listening. Of course, do go to the A segment. Other guests that have been here recently, I love Chris Kaiser, who was CEO of the Turf Mutt Foundation, the value of outdoors to your health. And, of course, Paul Offit on 994B, who is a master of vaccine development. He developed the rotavirus vaccine and talked to us about that. Charles Brenner on 992B talked to us about NAD and its effect on the rate of aging and the coronavirus infections. One of my favorites of all time, Kathy Eban, I don't want to forget her, 947B. If you haven't listened to Kathy Eban's talk on Bottle of Lies, you should. This is actually going to be a classic too. Ruth Linden, founder of treeoflifehealthadvocates.com. Thank you very much. And, of course, Joe, thank you for great engineering. We'll be back next week with another wonderful guest and the A segment, the news of the week, and what it means to you. Thanks again.